Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf Chav Dalid, and we're starting the new perek on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And our Mishnah is focusing on the din of Tzedah. Tzedah, as you know, is one of the Lametes Malachis. You're not allowed to go and capture an animal, a fish, fowl, any one of those on Shabbos, and in our case, on Yontif. Now, sometimes you have a situation where the animal or the fish is already caught, and if it's already caught, then you cannot capture it again. And that's the focus of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about bivrim. Bivrim are enclosures, and naturally enclosures for fish are different than enclosures for animals or for wild animals or for fowl. But each one within their own respective enclosures, if they are already caught, there's no way of capturing them again on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If they are not caught, then you could capture them again on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and if you do so, you'll be over an Isser of Tzad. So that's all in the abstract. So let's go and talk the Maisa. So looking at our Mishnah. Ain't sudden dogim in habivrim b'Yom Tov. You already have fish which are in an enclosure. Rashi says that the bivrim that we're referring to is brechoi shalmayim, which are ponds of water, and presumably this is a pond which is off the side from a river. You've been able to divert the fish into this pond, and they are now, quote, unquote, caught fish. They're yours. However, if you want to get one of those fish on Yom Tov, you still have to go and yank it out somehow or other by either getting it with a net or with a fish hook, fish line. You still don't have it in hand. So therefore, if you were to attempt to go and get a dog from those bivrim on Yom Tov, you're over on the Isser of Tzedah. Now you may be wondering to yourself, but after I have the fish, I'm certainly allowed to go and cook the fish. So if I'm allowed to cook the fish on Yom Tov, why am I not allowed to go and capture the fish? And once again, Rashi says here, like we've spoken about several times throughout the Masechta, because those things that you are able to do from Erev Yom Tov, you're expected to do on Erev Yom Tov. There's no reason why you couldn't go and catch the fish the day before Yom Tov and have it ready, willing, and able for the next morning. So Rashi says, well, if that's the case, why do you allow for shechting? You could have shechted the animal on Erev Yom Tov. Why do you permit shechting an animal on Yom Tov? So Rashi says, because with an animal, if you're going to go and shecht the animal in Erev Yom Tov, the meat, by the time it comes Yom Tov morning, may already get warm and may already get sour, or may begin to rot the asriach, and it might already develop a stench. Remember, we're talking about in the good old days before refrigeration and before freezing, and therefore, if it was a warm day, your meat could go bad. However, in the case of the fish, says Rashi, you could have caught it in with a net, for instance, and left it in the net within the water, so that the fish was ready and it was alive and would continue to live until Yom Tov morning, and therefore at that point just remove it from the water. So instead of capturing in your net on Yom Tov, you should have done it on Erev Yom Tov. And that's why the Mishnah says, ain't sudden dogim in a bivrim b'Yom Tov. Let's look at the first Rashi, right after the beginning of the Perek. So Rashi, ain't sudden dogim, avagav v'shchita, v'afiya, u'bishul, mi'ovis malachas hein, v'hutru l'tzerich Yom Tov. Even though these are all big time of malachas, of the lametes malachas, and they're mutra and Yom Tov, time mishim di efshim mi'erev Yom Tov. You cannot go and shecht, bake or cook from Erev Yom Tov and still be fresh. When it comes to shechting, I'm concerned that the basar may go bad. It's going to warm up the asriach, and in fact, it will begin to rot, begin to spoil. I would say the efshel etzudim aboyd yoyim. You could have caught this fish from Erev Yom Tov, leave it in its net overnight in the water, and it won't die. The next morning, you'll say, Mr. Fish, remember me from yesterday. And you'll snatch it out of the net, and you have fresh fish. So you have no right to go and be tzad to go and capture the fish on Yontif. And similarly, Veinoisim Lefnei Mezoinis. Also, you have no right to go and give them food. Rashi explains, even though we had before Machloket between Reb Shteglili and Reb Akiva, Imshat in the Pasuk, Ach Ashi Yochel Chol Nefesh, Hu Levadi Yosel Lechem. And remember, we had Reb Akiva said, Lechol Nefesh is including the Nefesh Behema, that you're allowed to go and prepare food and give food to your animals. But the Gemara said that's only if Achriosen Alecha. If you had the achrayus, if you had the duty and responsibility to go and serve them food. However, in the case of the fish, says Rashi, you don't have to serve them food. They can go and give an eitzah without you. How can they give an eitzah without you? Rashi says, because they will nibble at the grass and the greens at that you have in the water. And they sometimes even eat, says Rashi, sand. And godel ochel es hakatan, the larger fish eat the smaller fish. You don't have to worry about the fish. The fish, Baruch Hashem, are in very good shape. But continues the Mishnah, Abot Sodin, Chai Ba'oif Menah Bivrin, those you're allowed to go and capture from the Bivrin. Again, Bivrin means enclosures. The reason why here you're allowed to capture them is because they are considered to be Nitzoid Va'oimed. They're considered to be already captured from the day before. You can't capture them two times. Once they are caught within their enclosure, it's basically, you just select it, pull it out, and you can go and shecht it now on Yontif. So even though you and I look upon it as if you are capturing the Chayav Oif, no, they're already caught. They are in the Bivrin. Here the Bivrin, of course, are not talking about Brechoi Shulmayim. Here the enclosure, says Rashi, is something like a corral, where you have a piece of land, Mukav Geder Soviv, it has a fence around it, and therefore these Chayas and these Oifois and Behemoths, well, Mish only took the Chayas of Oifois, cannot escape. They are already caught, so you're capturing them once again, and Yontif is really not catching them. They're already caught. Menoisim Lefnei Mezoinis, since they are caught and they are in your Rishus, you do have a duty to go and feed them, and therefore, Achriyuson Alecha. It really depends on the type of enclosure you're talking about. As we'll see in the Gemara Miyat Hashem, the Parsha Pshat in Rabbi Shem Gamliel is it depends how large the biver is. If it's a relatively small biver, so then all you have to do is you open the door and you grab that chaya v'oif because it's right in front of you. But if it's a large biver, as large as, I don't know, Yankee Stadium, then you got to run around to go and capture it, so it's not caught. So the fact that it's within an enclosure doesn't mean automatically that it's caught. It really depends on how large the biver is, whether you still have to exert efforts to catch it once again. So says Rav Shem Galiel, not all biver are created equally. Ze'aklal, the general rule is, kala mechusar tzeida, if you still have to capture it within the biver, then it's aser, then you're not allowed to do tzeida. You should have caught it the day before. B'sheinu mechusar tzeida, however, if all you have to do is go and jump into this biver and the animal is right in front of you and you can remove it, so then what are you allowed to go and quote-unquote catch it on Yontif, because you're not catching it. It's already caught from the day before. We're going to talk more about Rav Shem Gamliel about halfway down the Omid. Anyway, let's start back. The Mishnah began that you're not allowed to capture dogim. We're not really going to focus on the dogim. We're going to focus on the chai v'oif. And our Mishnah said that you are allowed to catch chai v'oif men habivrim from their corrals, from their enclosures on Yontif. Frankly, more a minute. I have a price that says just the opposite. Bivrim shel chai v'shel oif oif ain't sod mehem b'yontif. You have a biver of chai v'oif, you're not allowed to go and catch the chayes va'oifis from them on Yontif. And you cannot go and give them food. There's some background noise. Please put yourselves on mute. Shelly, please put yourself on mute. Shelly, please put yourself on mute. I get married, but we hear the conversation. Please put yourself on mute. Shelly, put yourself on mute. Back to the Gemara. In our Mishnah, we said that don't mute.
Shelly.
Mute. Shelly doesn't hear us. Anyway, let's see what we can do without Shelly. It says in the Mishnah once again, you are allowed to catch chai v'oif min ha-bivrin on yomtiv, but the Braisa says, bribin shul chai v'oif ain't tzad mehen v'yomtiv. So there's a crystal clear stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara doesn't focus so much on the Mezoinis, but yes, we have a stira there too, because the Mishnah says, noisel of name Mezoinis. The Braisa says, ain't noisel of name Mezoinis. But the point is, kasha chaya, chaya, kasha oifis and oifis, and our Mishnah says, you are allowed to catch the chay v'oif, and the Braisa says, you're not allowed to catch the chay v'oif on yontiv min ha-bifrin. So, Gemara, bishkloy mechaya chay le-kasha. Chaya chaya is really not a kasha. Horeb Yehuda Rabbanon. It's a machloikis. Zidnan, we learn in the Mishnah Mesech the Shabbos. For statement of the Mishnah Yehuda Omer, Hatzod Tzipor Lemigdol. Utzvi Labayis Chayov. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if a person goes and captures a tzipor, a bird, and he takes the bird and captures it within a migdol, the art scroll translates migdol as closet. So your tzipor is stuck in a closet, you got the tzipor into the closet, you lock the door, there are no windows, there's no way for the tzipor to leave, that's called Meleches Tzeda on Shabbos, you're over on Tzeda. Utzvi, if you caught a tzvi deer, Lebayis. In other words, you were able to convince it somehow. You schlepped it into a house, and then you sealed the door of the house. Then you are chayv on seder of the tzvi. Rashi immediately points out the tzipor has to be in the migdol. If the tzipor was caught inside a bayis, that's not considered to be tzeder, because a bayis by definition has windows, and so therefore the tzipor will be able to somehow fly out, fly the coop or fly the bayis through one of the windows. Therefore, that's not tzeder. But once it's stuck in a closet, there are no windows, and it's stuck. Tzvi, on the other hand, can't jump out of the window. It's too small. And so therefore, once it's inside the bayis, you're chayiv on tzeder. So now the Gemara is medayik. The bayis udu mechayiv. You're only mechayiv if you caught the tzvi inside a house. Avala bivrim, however, if you caught the tzvi inside a biver, inside an enclosure, loy. Why? Because a biver is a much larger area, even if it happens to be a high fence, and therefore the tzvi is stuck, you still have to go and exert efforts to go and capture that tzvi inside the biver. But if it's inside the bayis, it's a much more limited area, and that you would be chayv. When it comes to tzipor, I agree with you, the only way you're chayv on tzipor is lemigdol, you go and capture it in a closet. Or for that matter, into a bird cage. Then it's considered to be locked and sealed and caught, your chayv on Satan. Utzvi, when you're talking about a tzvi, you don't have to go and take it into a biver. The Bach adds, utzvi, labayis. I'm sorry, you don't have to have a tzvi into a bayis, like Rabbi Yehuda said, but tzvi is labayis, lagina, lachotzer, labivrin. Oh, any type of enclosure, you'll already be chayiv on tzod tzvi on Shabbos. And so therefore, what do I see? That there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rechamim, not legabe the tzipor. They both agree tzipor is lemigdol. But there's a machloikis legabe the chaya, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only chayiv on chaya if you chapt, you caught the chay inside a house. But according to the Chachamim, you are chayiv on Seder, even if you caught it inside a biver. Ah, okay. So what happens if, in fact, you caught such a tzvi inside a biver from Erev Yontif? Not on Yontif. From Erev Yontif. So what's the din now? So our Mishnah holds like the Chachamim, that once it's inside a biver, it's caught. Like the Chachamim say that if you caught a tzvi on Shabbos in a biver, you are over on Seder because it's caught. So if you captured a tzvi inside a biver on Erev Yontif, it's caught. If it's caught, says our Mishnah, then you're allowed to go and remove the chay v'oy from the biverin on Yontif because you're not capturing it. It was caught already from Erev Yontif. Mashenkin, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, no, no. A biver is not called court, only if it's an abayas, because that's a limited area where you can easily jump on it and chop it, and you got it. Mashenkin, a biver, it can go and take you for a ride for a long time. It's still not court. And that's the reason why the price says on the top, the biver shechayv oif, ain't tzad mehem beyantiv. So the teretz to our kasha is, it's not a stira, it's a machlokes. Our mishnah chachamim, that price on top goes aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. El oif is kasha, because in the brisa, I'm sorry, in the mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim both agree that the only way to go and catch a tzipor is in a migdal. And if that's the case, if it's not in a migdal, if it's only in a biver, then everybody should agree that's a much wider, longer area. Everybody should agree that if you are trying to chop that on Yontif, you're over on Meleches Tzeda. What's going to be the answer in terms of the stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa at the top of the Amt? Every Gemara, B'chitema, perhaps you're going to go and give the following answer. Hanami Lekasha, Haba Biver Makura, Haba Biver She'ena Makura. It really depends on whether the biver has a roof to it, a ceiling, or if it doesn't have a roof. Meaning, back in our Mishnah, it's talking about that it had a roof. Since it had a roof, this oif is stuck. There's no way that it can flee. It cannot go and flee its coop. It's stuck there. So therefore, you're allowed to go inside, you're allowed to go and capture it on Yontif, because it's already caught from before. Masha Enke, when you're talking about the brice at the top of the Amid, you know why ain't sudden mehem beyontiv? It's talking about a biver she'ena makura. Ena makura means that there is no ceiling, no roof to that biver, and so therefore you have to go and capture it because it could fly the coop literally. So that's the reason why it says that ain't sudden beyontiv. Oh, so that lechoyer is a good teretz, but says Gemara that lechoyer doesn't work because of our bias. To kibiver mekura dummy ubein the Rabbi Yehuda ubein the Rabbanan tzipra lemigdal en lebayis loy. After all, we're talking about the case of the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, where you have a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Both of them agreed that the only time you're going to be chayiv on Seida on Shabbos if you're talking about a tzipra lemigdal. Now tzipra lemigdal says the Gemara. Is ke'en a biver makura? What's the reason? What's the reason why tzipor you're only chayiv lemigdal inside a closet? Why aren't you chayiv if you capture a tzipor inside a house? Because inside the house, it's free to roam and to fly away. So it's still not considered to be captured. That's why it's got to be lemigdal. Aha. Zokta Yimara. So what happens if it's in a bayis? We're saying that that doesn't work. It's not tzeda if it's an abayis. Well, abayis is just like a biver makura. Biver makura is an enclosure that has a ceiling, that has a roof. That's what a house is. It's an enclosure that has a roof. And both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum agree that that is not a form of tzeda. That it's not caught yet. It's still flying around. So if that's the case, what's pshat in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that you're allowed to go and capture the oif from the biver on Yontif because it's already caught. It's not already caught. It's even a biver makura, it's not caught, because it's not any better than a bias. If anything, it's worse than a bias, because a biver is typically a much larger enclosure than just a house. So the chori, this teretz doesn't work. So if you mara obein Rabbi Yehuda obein Rabbana and tzipa lemigdal in a bias light. So Amrabba Rav Huna, hachem tzipa droras, kina, and chain mekabelis, morus. Says Amrabba Rav Huna, the teretz that we gave answering the stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa works. Our Mishnah is talking about a biver makura where there's a roof, where there's a ceiling, and the fowl cannot fly the coop. They are stuck. Since they're stuck, if I were to go and remove one now on Yontif, I am not over on Seida because it's already caught. You can't capture it from a caught enclosure. Mashenkin, the Bryce is talking about a case of a biver she'ena makura, where the bird can fly the coop. So if I go and capture the bird within the coop, within this enclosure, guess what? Then I'm chayiv on tzeda. That's why it says ain't tzad mehem beyomtiv. You told me that both the Yehuda and the Rabbanan say that it's got to be tzipor lemigdol and not into a biver and not into a bayis. I'll tell you why. Because they're talking about a tzipor dror. Tzipor dror means a free flying bird that is not mekabel morus. Mekabel morus means it doesn't allow for anyone to be its master. It flies wherever it wants to. You could stand on your head whether you like it or not. It is constantly flying around. If you look at Rashi, tzipor dror, three lines higher in the Rashi than we where you are in the Gemara, says Rashi, tzipor dror, shedor v'bayis kibesoda. The reason why it's called dror, the Gemara is going to say this, is because it lives inside a house like it lives in the field. Now what? Sheyadas liyishamid b'zobi sabayis l'chol tzad. It knows how to escape and to escape possible pursuit or capture. It will fly into all of the corners of the house. Wherever it can find a place to flee and to live, it will do so. So getting back to the Gemara. It doesn't accept anyone as its master. How did it get the name Tzipor Dror? And that being the case, says the Gemara, both our Mishnah and the Braisa are no longer based on a Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa can go according to both of them. The difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, our Mishnah, what it says, you're allowed to go and capture the oifois from the biver on Yantiv. It's talking about in a biver makura, where the bird is stuck, and we're not talking about a tzipor dror, we're talking about a regular, ordinary bird, so it's relatively easy to capture it on Yantiv, and therefore there's no Malachas Seder. The Braisa that we had on the top of the Yantiv that says, Ein tzadin oifois min abivrin. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about that was a biver she'ena makura. There's no ceiling, no roof. So this bird can fly the coop. Even though it's within a biver, it's still a ganza malacha to go and capture it on Shabbos or on Yontif. And what were Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan talking about? They were talking about a tzipor dror. But that's kind of an exceptional case. That's not the case of the Mishnah or the Braisa. What have we accomplished, Rabbeisai? Not only have we for Enfit, we answered the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, we've been able to do it without resorting to a machloikis. Which means, by the Chaya and the Chaya, we said we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. In the case of the Tzipor, we're able to go and reconcile our Mishnah and the Braisa without having to resort to a machloikis. Everybody agrees that there's a major difference between a biver makura and a biver she'ena makura. The machlokes between Rabbi Rabbanan is talking about an exceptional case of a tzipor dror. The Gemara is so impressed with this new teretz that the Gemara says, "Hashadi osu tohachi." Once you've told me that, chaya chaya nami loy kasha. By chaya the chaya, I also do not have to resort to a stira like I had until now. But rather, habibiver cotton. I don't have to say that it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But rather, habibiver cotton, habibiver godoil. Here we're talking about a small biver. Here we're talking about a large biver. Back in our Mishnah, we're talking about a klein shiger. It's a small enclosure. So it's relatively easy to go and chap the oif. So if you chap the oif on Yontif, potter, there's no malachas tzeda. Not that it's potter avaloser. You're allowed to go and grab it because it's a small river. Mashenken, if you're talking, here we're not talking about oifis anymore. We're talking about chayis. You have a small river in our Mishnah. You open the door. The chaya, the deer, is right in front of you. You go and take it. So there's no malachas tzot. The case of the braisa in Mesechtes Shabbos, the braisa at the top of Chavdal Rabbat Aleph, that's talking about a biver godoil. So even after you enter the biver to get the chaya, it's not right in front of you. It can still run around many, many times. So you still have to do a tzad, you still have to do a tzeda to go and chap this chaya. That's why the braisa says, ain't tzad miyam biyantif. Okay, so there's a difference between a biver godoil and a biver katan. Vreitimor hechi dami. You've only told me that there's this halachic difference. Can you tell me the dimensions of a biver godel and a biver cotton? And Ravashi goes and gives us three examples. Heichadam bivakot and heichadam bivakot. Omer Ravashi. Kol heichad roed abasro umoti lo bechad shechia bivakot. Any time that your chaya wishes to flee when it sees you, and you're able to go and matila and reach it bechad shechia with one lunge, with one sprint, it's a bivakot. The idach, anything larger than that, is a biver gadol. In other words, you open the door to the enclosure, the deer wishes to flee, but you're able to just lunge and grab it, that's a biver cotton. Obviously, the whole thing is not more than dalet al dalet, or 10 by 10 amas, something very, very small. Anything larger than that, you have to run after it, that's a biver gadol. Inami, kolech de ik uktzi uktzi. Uktzi means that it has corners and escape routes within the biver. In other words, not just a simple plain rectangular size or square size, but every once in a while when you get into the corners, you see there's room there within the corner to squeeze in and to escape. That's called the biver gadol. But if there are no such corners, but it's a relatively normal type of enclosure, then it's a biver cot. V'irech biver cot. Inami kolechid enafli tula de kasli ahadodi. If it's so small that when the sun is shining, that the shade of one wall, the shadow of one wall, hits the other wall, then it shows that it's very, very narrow. It's not a wide opening, not a wide enclosure. If the tula falls ahadodi, it's bivakot. The idach, however, if it's larger than that, meaning that it's so wide that when the sun is shining, the shadow of one wall does not hit the other wall, then that's a bivakot. On this last point, obviously, it also depends not only on the width of the biver, it also depends on the height of the biver. Because you could have a biver which happens to be very wide, as wide as the Mishkan, 5,000 square amis, but if the walls of this Mishkan happen to be 100 amis tall, so then most of the time there will be shade or shadow going from one wall to the other, just by the fact that it's so tall. So the Toisus at the top Toisus says that the biverin had a standard height. So the only question was the width of the biver from wall to wall. So since they had a standard height, it doesn't say what the standard height was. Yeah, let's say the standard height was 10 feet tall. So therefore, if during most of the day when the sun is shining, you have an extended shade or shadow from one wall to the other wall, it's a simon that is a biver cotton. On the other hand, if there is no shadow from one wall to the other, it's a biver gadol. And with this, we have now two terutzim to our stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The first answer was that the Mishnah and the Braisa, there's no stira, it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And according to this new teretz, we don't have to make machloikis in. It's a hav of the ach v'sholem v'reyus. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa could be authored by both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The only difference between the two is our Mishnah is talking about a biver cotton and the Bryce is talking about a biver godoil. The only problem with this teretz v'choyre is that let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says at the end, Reb Shim Gamliel Oimer, loy kol ha-bivrin shavin. Not all bivrin are created the same. Ze ha-klal, kol ha-mechusr tzeida, aser. B'shein ha-mechusr tzeida is mutter. Certainly this rule of Rabbi Shim Gamliel sounds very much like the difference that we just made between the Mishnah and the Braisa. That what? Kol ha-mechusr tzeida, if the animal is there for the taking, you don't have to still capture it because it's right in front of you. One lunge, you got it. Then it's not mechusr tzeida and it's mutter. If it's a type of biver which is large enough that the chaya can try to escape your pursuit for a period of time, it's not a one lunge situation, it's larger than that, then it's awesome. So isn't that the same as the Tanakhama? And as you'll see from the Gemara Baisai in the next line, that in fact the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah is that in fact Reb Shim Gamliel is not arguing, he's explaining the Mishnah. As the Gemara is going to tell us right now, Reb Shim Gamliel, Oyim Eloi Kol Abivim Shom. Amr of Yosef, Amr of Yudah, Mishmul, Halacha Krib Shimon Ben Gamliel. Amalei Abaya, halacha mechlal de pligi. When you say halacha, it's mashma that there's some sort of machloikis, and now the decision has been made. We're going to follow Rishon Gamliel and not the Tanakama. But that's not true. We just got finished saying that the Mishnah and Rishon Gamliel are exactly the same. Rishon Gamliel is only explaining. Is Amalei, Sir Rav Yosef said to Abaya, what's bothering you? Amai nafal chamina. Lamais, if I tell you the halacha of Rishon Gamliel, and then you tell me that there's no machloikis, then that even solidifies the fact that we paskin like Rishon Gamliel, because everybody paskin like Rishon Gamliel, even the Rabbanan. So, if anything, punk faket, that's great. So why are you complaining?
Except the three cases.
Which three cases? What do you mean?
Raya Chrona, Arei, and
Sidon.
Sidon, you
can
listen to Sidon.
Yeah, you're 100% right. But the point of our Rav Yosef is not so much to isolate this Rav Shim Gamliel and say this is the only time. The discussion between Rav Yosef and Abaya is, why does he say, after learning the Mishnah, we paskin like Rav Shim Gamliel, which sounds like, to the exclusion of the Tanakhama, says Abaya, the Tanakhama and Rav Shim Gamliel are saying the same thing. There is no machloikis. I don't even have to get into whether it's one of the three exceptions or not. There's no machloikis. Everybody agrees. It depends on how large the biver is. And this is all very logical. If you still have to capture it because it's such a large enclosure, if you have an enclosure like the size of Yankee Stadium, then of course, even though it's enclosed in the stadium and cannot get out, every single exit has been sealed shut. But you still have to run after it for an hour or two or three to try to capture it. And maybe you won't even be able to capture it. On the other hand, if the size of the enclosure is the size of the Chvais Rafohans Bismedrish. So it's a beautiful Bismedrish, but it's not that large, and therefore, with one or two lunges, you'll be able to capture the deer. So the Gemara is saying now, L'choira, that's what Rav Shim Gamliel says, and that's what the Tanakhama says. What's the Machlaikis? Why is Rav Yosef saying, I pass like Rav Shim Gamliel? So Rav Yosef says, why does it bother you? If that's the halacha, that's the halacha. Even if everybody agrees, fine, that's halacha, is halacha. Well, what's bothering you about it? Everything went on Malays. Abaye said, Gemara, Gemara, Smurta Tehei. So Rashi says, Gemara, Gemara means, do you go and take a Talmud who is not that bright, and you go and teach him Torah, whether you're teaching him the truth or you're teaching him a mistake, and tell him, go and sing it, whether you understand it or not, just go and use it for Zmiris. Obviously, this is an expression. And what the Gemara is trying to say is, we want to learn the absolute truth. By saying that the halacha is like Rav Shim Gamliel, it certainly sounds like there's a machlokes. But if there's no machlokes, don't tell me the halacha is like Rav Shim Gamliel, because we always paskin like everybody if there's no machlokes. So why do you go and tell us halacha is Rav Shim Gamliel? And therefore that's why Abaya was a little bit upset at the fact that Rabbi Yosef said halacha is Rav Shim Gamliel. But now the Gemara explores once again Rav Shim Gamliel in somewhat greater detail. Rav Shim Gamliel said, not all bivren are the same. It depends whether it's mechusar tzeda. Zez the Gemara zeh aklal kol mechusar tzeda. Hey, chidom mechusar tzeda. Give an example of mechusar tzeda. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Kosha oimer havei mitzuda unitzidena. You come into the biver, you look at the chaya, and you say to though your friends, whoever is assisting you, go and bring now a net to be able to go and capture it. That's the siman that is still mechusar tzeda. Rashi says that even though the Gemara is coming up now with this new shiur, this is really the same shiur as before, but expressed in different terms. Remember, Ravashi already said that if you can go and lunge at it and get it with one lunge, it's considered to be caught. Says Rashi, that's the same thing that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying, that you can't capture it in one lunge. You still have to go and get a net to go and capture it. If you need to go and say, bring the net, it's a siman that it's mechusar tzeda. Amalei Abaya, v'avodim utani goyim shayim havei metzuda unetzedenu. When it comes to avodim geese, utani goyim and chickens, if they happen to be running around, flying around, so you also say, no, somebody please get a net and let's go and capture it. If on Yontif you go and capture a goose or a tarnigol or Yoin Hardesois. Yoin Hardesois are Yoinim, doves that were brought up in private homes, just like you have people that have dogs, you have people that have bird cages and birds in their homes. The reason why they're called Yoin Hardesois is because this was a minig that Hordis had, Herod. He had in his own home, he would go and grow domesticated birds. Anyway, so what's the halacha if you go and capture any one of these types of birds? You're potter. Because even though the chicken and the goose is running around, and you say to your friend, Shnel, let's get the net, but lemaisa, it's not really tzeida because it's so easy to go and capture them. So you see that this is not the determining factor, the fact that you say, Hove mitzudun etzedana. There's a difference between avozim v'tarnei goylim and other types of birds, or for that matter, chayes. What's the difference? That the avozim v'tarnei goylim always return to their coop at night. And so therefore, says Rashi, they are considered to be nitzoidin v'oimdin, as if they are already caught, because you know that by 6, 7 o'clock tonight, it gets dark, boom, they all come back to their nests to rest for the night. Says Rashi, even before nightfall, they are considered to be caught because it's just a question of time. Kala oimid to be caught, ki caught a dummy. Kala oimid litzoid, ki not a dummy. So therefore, that's why you are potter if you capture the tiny goylim and avos. What about those doves that fly from dovecot to dovecot? What's the halacha? The boim lekluvim le'erev. They typically get back to their own dovecot every evening. V'tani atzod yoni shoyv yoni aliyah. V'tzavarim shekannu b'tapichin bebirois. Rashi says kannu b'tichin bebirois means that they were able to somehow find an opening in the wall, and they were able to go and establish their nest. The word kinenu is like from the word kansipar. They made a nest in the wall. If you capture one of those, you're chayiv. We know that the Yoni Shevach Yoni Aliyah come back to their kluvan, to their nests, to their dovecots every night. Elam Rabbi Ravuna Meshmuel Anupshat. Halo Lubon the kluvan Laerev Umin Zainoisan Olecha. Halo Lubon the kluvan Laerev Eng Zainoisan Olecha. What does it have to do with Zainoisan Olecha or not? Explains Rashi on the first wide line. If they expect you to go and feed them, like the avozim and the tiny goylim, they expect you to go and supply for them their chicken feed or goose feed or whatever it is. It says, it's considered to be already yours, and therefore you're not capturing them or catching them, even if you use a net to catch them. They're not looking to you for food. They, after all, they are, I guess, to a certain degree, scavengers. They are flying around eating food wherever they can find it. So therefore, even when they come back to the Kluvan L'Erev, they're not yours. Reb Mori Omar, Hani Abid Lervuye, Hani Abid Lervuye. The word Lervuye means to flee. Even though all animals and all wild animals and all birds, they all have that natural instinct to flee when someone wants to capture them, there's a difference. In the case of the Avonim v'Tarnei Goylim, once they come back to their chicken coop at night, or the geese coop at night, then they no longer flee. There you can just take them out by opening up the coop and selecting whichever one. Mashenka, when you're talking about the Yoni Shevach Yoni Aliyah, even when they come back, the Kluvan Lair, they get back into their dovecot, you open the door, they are running around and fleeing and flying here and there and everywhere. So therefore, even when they're in the dovecot, they're still not considered to be caught. Alright, that's what the Gemara fears us. Kulinami avid lebuye. Even in the case of the avozim v'tarnei goylim, they also attempt to flee. Says the Gemara, the kluvan kamrina and avid lebuye. I'm talking about even once they reach their kluv, once they are captured within their net, within their nest, within their dovecot, it makes no difference. They are still fleeing, they are still running away. So that's why the difference between capturing the dove and capturing the geese or the chickens. Okay. Zokta Mishnah. From here, it's a little bit easier sailing. Zokta Mishnah. Metzudis chaya v'oif v'dogin sh'ason me'erev yontif l'yitho mehen v'yontif elam ken yudea sh'netzoyde me'erev yontif. Here we're talking about not the malach of tzeda. We're focusing on the inyan of muktzah and Mukhan, which means even if it was caught in its dovecot or in its chicken coop or in its enclosure, is it Mukhan for taking out and using it for Yom Tov the next day? So if it's in a Metzuda, Chai V'Oy V'Dog, a Metzuda means a net or a trap for Chayes Oif V'Dogim. Shason Me Erev Yontif. If they were caught in the trap already from Erev Yontif, Lo Yito Mehen V'Yontif. Elim Ke Yodei Hashin Etzoidim Erev Yontif. Again, you have these Metzudas, you have these traps. These traps were used to go and capture Chayes, wild animals, or Oifois, birds, dog, and fish. And these Metzudas were already there from Erev Yontif. The question is, when were the Chai V'Oif V'Dogim caught within the trap? When were they trapped? Says the Mishnah, you can only take them from the trap on Yontif morning if you know that they were already trapped from the day before. Because if they were only trapped on Yontif, that means on Erev Yontif they were not Mukhan. And therefore they have a din of Muktza and they are awesome. A guy that brought fish term Gamliel. The Amar Rav Gamliel said Mutarim. He brought the fish on Yontif itself. I have no idea when the guy caught the fish. Whether he caught the fish on Erev Yontif or caught the fish on Yontif. The Mishnah assumes, as we'll see in the Gemara, that he in fact caught fresh fish on Yontif morning. And Rav Gamliel said Mutarim, you can take them, no problem, they're mutter. But I don't want them. The reason I don't want them, says Rashi, is because he didn't particularly like this guy. He and the guy were not on best of terms, and he says, I'm not interested in your fish. But I see from Gamliel that even though the fish potentially were caught on Yontif, they're mutter. Freitimor, that's a masalistar. We just got finished saying in the Reisha that you can only take the fish if you know for sure that it was caught in the Erev Yontif. And here Ram Gamliel says, I can take it even though maybe it was only caught on Yontif. We have to add another line to our Mishnah. Safik Mukhan Asur. If I'm not sure whether the fish or the chayis v'oifis were caught may erev Yontif, then they would be Mukhan. Or they were only caught on Yontif and then they would be Muktza. I don't know. It's a Safik, says the Mishnah Asur. From Gamliel is Matir. Omas Nambi Branachi Echad. Shehibi Dog Ram Gamliel. The Omar Mutarin, hey? El Shein Ritzain the Kabbalah Menu. Ram Gamliel, in fact, implemented his halacha lemaisa in a case of a Nochri that brought him fish that potentially were caught on Yontif itself. And Ram Gamliel says, Emutar, because Safik Mukhan is Mutar. How do we paskin? Is Safik Mukhan Mutar or Safik Mukhan Asur? We do not paskin like Rav Gamliel, but rather like the Tanikama, Safik Mukhan, which is Safik Muktza, is Asur. And we're going to have now two braises which are similar to our Mishnah, and according to two versions, it's not that Rav Yehuda Mishmuel paskin like the Tanakama of our Mishnah against Ram Gamliel, but he paskin like another Tana against Ram Gamliel. Like we see in the following braisa. Ikanamasi lohad, hodasanya, Safik Mukhan. That's the case we're talking about. I'm not sure whether the fish was caught before Yontif or on Yontif. It's a Safik. Ram Gamliel is matir. Rabbi Shua Oysa, Rabbi Shua said, no, it's Aser. Like the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Om Rav Yira Mishmul, Halachik Rabbi Yeshua, we pass on Rabbi Yeshua, not like Rav Gamliel. And the Ikanamasi lo Ahadisanya. Others said that Om Rav Yira Mishmul on another Bryce. And the Bryce again is similar in Halacha to our Mishnah and that first Bryce that we brought. What's the next Bryce? Chav Dalar Amid Beis, top of the Amid Beis Bryce. Shoichtim and Anagorim Biyontif. Nagorim over here doesn't mean blacksmiths or carpenters. Nagorim, says Rashi, means chayois that have already been caught from before Yontif, and they are able to drink from nigrei mayim b'charitzin. That's the top Rashi. The Nagorim over here means brooks or ditches or furrows in which you have accumulated water, and like in a pond, for the chayis to be able to go and drink. Those are called nagarim. So you're allowed to go and shecht from the nagarim, from those chayis that were caught already from Erev Yontif and are drinking from the nigar on Yontif. However, you're not allowed to go and take the chayis that were caught in the reshes or the machmoiris. The reshes means that you found it in a trap on Yontif morning. You're not allowed to go and shecht the chayis from that trap, because it was only trapped on Yontif morning itself. See, if you look at the Rashi on the third line, Avloim and Rishal says, Matze chaybim tzudosai, Sofik nitzer hayoim, Sofik nitzer meyasmol, I find it in the trap on Yontif morning. I don't know whether it was trapped already yesterday and then it was muchan, or whether it's trapped today and therefore it's mukta. I don't know. Sofik muchan is awesome. Shimon Lazar Aymer, Bo Matan Mikulkalim Erev Yontif, Biyadush Erev Yontif Nitzaydu, Umutar, Bo Matan Mikulkalim Biyontif, Biyadush Erev Yontif Nitzaydu, Vasur. What is this talking about? Shimon Lazar says you get up in the morning, or let's first talk about Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif, if you find your Mitsuda is Mikulkal, Mitsuda means a very large trap, and this trap is such that if it catches a chaya, the chaya is not going to say, okay, I'm caught, I'm stuck, we're done, I'm done for. No, the chaya is going to try as much as it can to try to flee and break through from this trap. As a result of fleeing on one side of the trap, even if you don't see that other side of the trap, the side of the trap that you do see, you'll see is makulko. Makulko in the sense that it is no longer that tall, strong trap that it was, but it's perhaps the wall has collapsed on the other side because of the tenacity of the chaya that is trying to flee from the trap. It pushed and it pulled, and therefore the whole net, the whole trap, kind of fell to pieces. So says the Gemara, Bo Matzah Mekukol Me'erev Yontif. If you find your trap is Mekukol and Erev Yontif, you didn't actually see the chaya. You only looked at half the trap. The trap must have been quite a large trap, probably as long as Yechvais, half a city block or something like that. So on your side of the trap, you see that it's mekukel, that the wall is falling in. You know the reason is because there is a chai that was trapped on the other side. And therefore, when you come Yontif morning, you know that this was already trapped from Erev Yontif. So, bo matzah mekukel mi Erev Yontif, biyadush mi Erev Yontif, nitzayidu umutar. What happens if Erev Yontif, he came by this trap, and you saw that there was no kilkul, the trap was exactly the way it's supposed to be. Oh, since Erev Yontif the trap was in good shape, now in Yontif it's all mekukul, I know that the chai was captured on Yontif. Okay, so those two halachas seem to work beautifully, but the Gemara says, Agufakasha, I have a stira, not from the halach itself, but from the inference, from the deal. What's the kasha from the diuk? Amriz bo matzah mikulkalim erev yontif b'duush mi erev yontif nitzayda. Time with the bo matzah mikulkalim from erev yontif. What happens if you didn't check it out on erev yontif? You only checked it out on yontif. Hasveikas mashem, that would be awesome. Aim a sefer. What does the sefer say? Bo matzah mikulkalim b'yontif b'duush mi yontif nitzayda. Time with the bo matzah mikulkalim on yontif, and therefore you know for sure it happened on Yontif, because you checked it out on Erev Yontif and it was not Mekukel. You checked it out on Yontif, it was Mekukel, I know it was from Yontif. Hasveka, what happens if I don't know? Then, Hasveka, Erev Yontif, I'm not sure whether it was caught on Erev Yontif or not. What do I say? Erev Yontif, it was Mutar. It would be Mutar. So therefore, what do I see? A stira in the inferences from the Rashi to the Sefer. Says Imar Hachi Kamar. No, it all works and flows as one. Hachi Kamar, Bo Matzah Mekukel Mi Erev Yontif. If you inspected an Erev Yontif and you found that it's Mekukel, be a Duish, Mi Erev Yontif, Ni Tzaydu Umutar. There's nothing to talk about it. It's Mutar. Why is it Mutar? Because it was trapped already from Erev Yontif. It's Mukhan. If I'm not sure, Nasa Kemishin, Tzaydu Beyontif, the Asurin, since it's a Suffolk, I don't know whether it was trapped on Erev Yontif or whether it was trapped on Yontif. What's the halacha? Suffolk Muchan is Asur. That Suffolk Muchan is Asur. So bottom line is, I have the same Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying the same halacha three times. In our Mishnah, where there was a machloket between Tanakama and Ram Gamliel, and Ram Gamliel was the makel and said, Suffolk Muchan is mutter, said Rabbi Yom Shmuel, no, we do not paskin like Ram Gamliel. Rashi points out that the first Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel was not able to say that Halacha is like blank, because we didn't have the name of anyone arguing with Ram Gamliel. So it was simpler just simply to say, we do not paskin like Ram Gamliel. In the first braisa, we had a machloikis, Rabbi Yeshua and Ram Gamliel. We passed like Rabbi Yeshua, not like Ram Gamliel. In this new braisa, we passed like Rabbi Shimon and Elazar. Rabbi Shimon and Elazar again holds something Muchan is Asr, and not like Ram Gamliel. So the three Amr Yehuda Mishmuels are all consistent with one another. The only question is, where did Shmuel say his halacha? Did he say it on the Mishnah, on the braisa, or on the second braisa? But let's focus on Ram Gamliel, even though we do not pass him like Ram Gamliel. Let's focus on what Ram Gamliel said. Ram Gamliel said that if you caught fish on Yontif, a goy caught fish on Yontif, they are mutarin. Freitimor mutarin lamai. For what purpose? Rav Abba mutarin lekabel, that they are not mukta. You can go and accept the present from the goy. He caught the fish today. You could take it from him and say thank you. Not only are they not mukta, you're allowed to go and eat from them. What's the basis of the machlokes over here? So Rashi says that according to Rab, that says mutar mekabel, he feels that even though Ram Gamliel said Suffolk Muchan is mutter, not to the extent that you can actually eat from them, but at least that they're not muktzah. In other words, Ram Gamliel is not coming up with a radical kula. It's a restrained, limited kula. It's true, Suffolk Muchan is mutter, but not to eat. It's not muktzah. You can go and take them. But to eat, azui vait. So far, Ram Gamliel was not willing to go. Well, Levi said, no. Once he holds that there's no problem with Suffolk Muchan, you can go the full 9 yards. You can even go and eat from the fish that was caught on Yontif. Gemara tells us now, as a side note, Omer Rav, La'olam al yimna adam atzim b'smedish afilu shoachas. A person should try to be in b'smedish at all times. Why? Danav v'levi havinan kamei derevi, ki omer l'hosh maite. Remember, we have a machlokes between Rav and Levi in understanding Ram Gamliel. When Ram Gamliel said mutter, did he mean lekabel or did he mean ba'achila? Says Rav, at night, when Rebbe was giving us the shiur in this halacha, he said, "Be'orta amar mutar bachila." He said that the pshat in Ram Gamliel was that it was mutar bachila. However, overnight, Rebbe changed his mind, and betzaf the next morning, amar mutar lekabel, not bachila, only lekabel. Says Rav, "Anod avoy be midrasha hadrivi." Since I was in Bismedish the next morning, I heard Rebbe change his mind, and he said it's mutarin, not le'achila, but only le'kabel, and that's why I also said now, only le'kabel. Levi didn't come the next morning in Bismedish. He just relied on the shear the night before. That's why he continues to say the same thing again, mutarin ba'achila. But that's not the halacha, says Rav. Neither one is the halacha, because we paskin like the Tanakam and not like Ram Gamliel. But in understanding Ram Gamliel, said Rav, if Levi had been in the Bismedish like me the next morning, he would have known that Rebbe changed his mind. It's only mutter lekabel, not mutter ba'achila. Freitimor meisvei. Noch rishayvi doin liYisrael, a goy that brought a present to Yisrael. Afilu dogim hamifulam, upeiris b'nei yoiman mutarin. In a case where you have dog mefulam, dog mefulam means fresh fish. Peiris ben yoim means peiris that were cut from the trees, from the branches on Yontif itself. Those are mutter. Now, this is no longer the case that we had before of a Suffolk Muchan, Suffolk Muktzah. Here we know for sure these were fresh as fresh can be. These were cut on Yontif itself. Says the Brice, it's mutter. Frey Timura, Bishlom Lamandiyam mutter on the Kabbal Shaper. To go and say that I can accept them, I understand that. Elamandiyam mutter machila, pays for the Yomim Mishoru machila. If it was Mechuber prior to Yontif, and somebody cuts them on Yontif itself, is a mutter machila? Tchavadim mukta. Frey Timura, the Tamech. Why did you say that Peiris ben Yoiman are, if you're telling me, the Kabbal Shaper, Mishor B'Tiltul? What difference does it make? If you know for a fact that an Erev Yontif they were still attached to the tree, then it's not Mukhan, it's a Chavad Mukhtza. What's the discussion? Why would the Brice say that it's Mutter? Says Yimora El Bekabri Da Adimi, who paid the Kvishi B'Yarka Askinan. We're not talking about that it was really Bnei Yoiman from that day, but rather the fish looked fresh because it was still red under the gills, or the peiris, when they were cut yesterday, they were packed in yerakos with other vegetables to keep them fresh, and therefore they looked like they were Bnei Yoiman. Fetimah v'amai kardu Bnei Yoiman, they really were not Bnei Yoiman, Shehen k'en Bnei Yoiman, because they were similar to. Anybody that saw the present said, hey, these look so fresh, it looked as if it was cut today. So what's the chiddush of the Gemara? Of course it was cut the day before its mutter. Says Rashi, I might think we should be gozer or to Bnei Yoiman because they look so fresh as if it was cut today. No, Kamashulam, we don't make any such gzeis. Anyway, so bottom line is, as long as it was caught today, avad, it's awesome. If it is a safik, mukhan, whether it was caught or cut yesterday, that's the shayla that we had in the Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda Mishmuel said three times, safik mukhan is awesome, not like number. Yeah. If you know that this is fresh produce that you still have them attached to the branches, also you have to assume that the Nochri cut it today, and therefore it's cut today, Safi Mukhan is awesome. And you even have to wait that night. You cannot automatically eat it immediately after nightfall. You gotta wait as long as it would take to go to the field to go and cut it from the tree and bring it back home. Rashi brings over here is a very fascinating Rashi, which will go over time, but Rashi tells us that he himself means Matzi Yontif HaRishayin. You can already eat it for the meal on Yontif Sheni Sholgolias. Well, Rashi brings from a number of other contemporaries that they disagreed, and that B'Chdeshiyasu means after both days of Yontif. It would continue to be Osir, not only the first day, but also the second day. It's an easy Rashi. You should look at it after the Shir is over. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, if you have Min Mechubar, that means that he cut it today, it's Osir. For the Erev Nami Yisur Mechleishiyas, you cannot eat it on Yontif, you can't eat it after Yontif, unless at least another half an hour passed, enough time to be able to go to the field and cut from that Min. The imaimi oisa min b'machuber. What happens if it's a different season and therefore these fruits were cut already a week ago or a month ago? Then teicha tchum, if he brought it from within the tchum, it's mutter, because that's again considered to be mukhan. You could have gotten them from before Yontif, it was within the tchum. Chutz tchum, if he's bringing it from outside the tchum, it's already aser, because that's already considered to be mukta. However, v'abav b'shvil Yisrael zeh. If, however, the goy brought it for Mr. Yankel Smith, and Yankel Smith is not allowed to eat it because it's chutz l'tchum, is osir. However, Beryl Smith, mutl Yisrael Acher, another yid, would be allowed to go and eat it after all. And the obvious question is, what difference does it make between Yankel Smith and Beryl Smith? And Rashi says, because since the whole din of tchumen is the Rabbanan, and Barry immediately is going to jump up, not according to everybody, not according to Rabbi Akiva, and then the Yushalmi says the first 12 mil, yeah. But we're assuming, says Rashi, that tchumen is mid Rabbanan. Since mid Rabbanan, they were only machmer if the goy brought these fruits, mechut l'tchum, for Yankel Smith. Yankel Smith don't eat from it. However, Beryl Smith, who is not the intended recipient, he may eat from the fruit, even though they were brought mechutz l'tchum. Rashi adds yet another svara, because gzeira shema yishlach b'shvilai. If Yankel Smith is going to go and take the fruit and eat from them, then the guy is going to understand, oh, I'm always going to go and bring fruit mechutz l'tchum. I see the recipient is eating from it. Therefore, we don't want to encourage this type of activity, and therefore we say, if Beryl Smith eats it, that's okay, but not Yankel Smith. The boy said we're going to stop over here and continue Miyat Hashem next time. Before we get off, the question is,